You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we come at you every week to talk about, go in-depth about, analyze your favorite hockey team, the Montreal Canadiens, the whole organization, as a matter of fact, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. And boy, there's certainly a lot to talk about today. But before we tell you what the focus of today's show is, let's make some introductions. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show. It's episode 378 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. This episode is titled Fragile Balance, Fowler and the Habs House of Cards. There's some things happening. And going to talk about it quite a bit with my wonderful co-host who's here in the studio with me. He is our founder and our president here at Rocket Sports, and his name is Rick Stevens. Greetings.
Howdy. Glad to be here.
How are you today?
I'm good. Glad to be here. Glad you're here. Glad our audience, community of Habs fans and NHL fans, hockey fans are here. It's been a busy, busy week. Fantasy football moving into the playoffs. We had the wrap up of the Formula One season. Congratulations to Lando Norris.
Yeah.
And McLaren.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great season. And the Montreal Canadiens fan base was coming apart at the seams this week for a variety of reasons. Well, yeah. It was. Wow. What a week.
And that's the first thing that we're going to do today on the show is we're going to recap what happened this week briefly in our first segment. We're going to take you through the four games that the Canadiens played between our last episode and today's episode. We're also going to update you on any roster news, what the lines shuffling, the line blender has spit out these days. We're going to get you caught up on some news about Canadiens prospects playing in the AHL, playing in the CHL, NCAA, Europe, you name it. And we're also going to give you some of the bigger highlights from around the hockey world in international play, in the NHL, things like that, all in the first segment. Then in our second segment, we're going to tackle our big topic for this week. Celebrating Jacob Fowler's NHL debut versus the risk behind Montreal's goaltending gamble. It was a big decision for the Canadiens to decide to pull the trigger and recall Jacob Fowler this week and put him in against Pittsburgh. And now there's a big question, and that went well, but now what? And that's really what we're going to focus on today, that Habs house of cards. How stable is it? What's the plan for Fowler? Where do they go from here? What do they do now? We're going to take a really close look at that and analyze the possibilities and hear from Fowler, hear from Marty St. Louis. There's a lot of question marks And we're going to explore some of those. Then finally, in our third segment, we've going to let you take the microphone. And we've got some great responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week that we want to share with you, as well as a great question for you to answer this week as well. Lots of opinions. There's been lots of opinions already about some things happening on Twitter, that's for sure. We're pretty sure that you're going to have some opinions on this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. So if you want to reply to the Canadians Connection question of the week, submit a response to be considered for reading out loud on next week's show. Or if you just have your own question, comment, opinion, statement, and you want to reach out to us, the best way to do that is texting us at 5853-ROCKET. That's 5853-ROCKET. You can also leave a comment on our YouTube channel. You'll find that over at insidethecanadians.com. You can also leave a comment on Spotify if that is how you listen to our podcast over on the Spotify platform. Or you could just hit us up on socials, X, Facebook, and Instagram. Look for the handle at Habs Connection, and you can leave us a comment or a reply or a DM in any of those places. So before we go forward, let's go back just a little bit. Back to a week ago, Saturday, December 6th, Montreal was in Toronto. Jakub Dobysh in net for this game, and they took it all the way to the shootout, Rick. Montreal coming out on top 2-1 against the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, in this game, and listen, the Leafs have been struggling, but the Canadians played well. Unevenly played first period, no scoring. Canadians came out, shots were something like 14-3 in the second period for the Canadians. Just one goal, though, a power play goal from Cole Caulfield. He extended his point streak to 10 games at that point. And Jakub Dobysh was very good. The only goal he surrendered in regulation was a shorthanded goal, Scotty Lawton, and certainly not Dobysh's fault there. 22 saves for Jakub Dobysh, a 957 save percentage. And there's lots of people kind of casually throw out that, oh, you know, both our goaltenders are struggling. Not really. Not the same situation.
No.
Jakub Dobysh is, you know, he's young, has consistency issues, but he's given the Canadians many good performances, and this was one of them. Sam Montembeau, not so much. The game went to overtime, went to a shootout, and it was Alex Texier, game-deciding goal. The one-handed poke, as they called it.
Yeah.
Nice move.
A smooth little play.
Yeah, he said he knew exactly what he was going to do when he picked up the puck, and it was effective.
It was. So, as is the common theme in the month of December this year for the Canadians, back-to-back games on Saturday night and Sunday night. So the following night, the Canadians were back home at the Bell Centre with St. Louis visiting. And pleasantly, I was surprised to see Dobysh get not just a consecutive start, but a consecutive start in a back-to-back. Unfortunately, apparently Sam Montembeau was under the weather on this day. Perhaps he would have started had he not been ill, but leave that as it may. Dobysh started. I wish that the Canadians had played better in front of him. And St. Louis actually ended up winning this one 4-3.
Yeah, we know St. Louis has been struggling all year long. This was kind of billed as the return to the trade of the summer. This was Mailloux versus Bolduc. It was curious that both of those young men took penalties in the first period, not that far apart. Unfortunately, the Blues scored on their power play. Mike Matheson leaving Braden Shen all alone on the power. Not a good move. But the Canadians, that was middle of the first period, and Lane Hutson and a late goal in the period by Cole Caulfield, his 16th of the year. So the Canadians ended up at the first intermission with a 2-1 lead. But then early in the second period, it was just awful defensively, awful for the Montreal Canadiens. Two goals in 39 seconds. That is two goals in the first minute five of the second period allowed by Montreal. Defensive breakdowns, defensive breakdowns. I'm sorry to say, Matheson again. The two goals, Holloway and Buznevich, and Matheson leaving. There's a pass out to Buznevich, who's all alone in front. Mike Matheson, the player in between, allows the pass go through. Lane Hutson asked after the game about the way the second period started, giving up those two goals in 39 seconds, said it was a terrible start to the period, one of our worst starts all season to a period. Canadians and the Blues traded goals in the third period, but as you said, Blues on top in this one, 4-3.
And if I had really hoped that they had played a little bit better in front of Jakub Dobish on Sunday night, well, I really wish they had played better in front of Jakub Dobish on Tuesday night, because they were still in Montreal. Tampa Bay Lightning in town. Dobish getting the start again. I was super thrilled to see, okay, we're gonna keep going to this kid. That's exactly what they need to do. However, the rest of the team, particularly the defensive core, has to show up to play hockey. And they did not do that on Tuesday night. Tampa Bay absolutely just wiping the floor with the Canadiens with a 6-1 drubbing. And it didn't get much prettier after the first intermission when Marty pulled Dobish and put Sam Montembeau in.
Yeah, this may be, I think this was a bridge too far, starting Dobish again. If Montembeau was supposed to start on Sunday. The only reason he didn't is because it was, yeah, why didn't he start on Tuesday?
Yeah.
That was a little bizarre to me. But yeah, Dobish was under siege in the first period. He gave up goals to the likes of Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov, which, you know, elite players. Montembeau came in and just he was completely lost, giving up goals to a Charles-Edouard Dastou.
Yeah.
And two goals by Darren Radish. None of the goals should have gone in. It was a bad night again for Matheson and Carrier. This was crushing for the Montreal Canadiens. Lots of fingers being pointed all over the place, but particularly because Sam Montembeau has become an unplayable goalie, and you know the Canadiens can't have Dobish starting, making 50 starts or whatever it is for the rest of the season. It is that's too much for him at this stage in his career. Mm-hmm. And Marty's struggling to come up with answers. Things really kind of snowballed and came to a crisis point at that stage midweek.
It did, because Wednesday we saw the recall from the AHL of goaltending prospect Jacob Fowler. And that meant on Thursday night in Pittsburgh, the Habs tapped Jacob Fowler for his NHL debut. No pressure, kid. To his credit, he was lights out. He was composed. And Montreal did their job in front of him, and the offense could find the back of the net, and Montreal won this one 4-2.
The difficulty that they set up for Fowler, how he approached it, he was sensational with 36 saves. It wasn't an easy opponent. Pittsburgh outshot Montreal 38-29. We're going to dive deep into Jacob Fowler, Marty St. Louis and all of it a little later. But, you know, he jumped in and was, you know, in the deep end of the pool and quieted all of the noise, single-handedly quieted all the noise and the desperate pleas from fans and media and everyone early in the week. Remarkable for a 21-year-old.
Definitely. So you chose this week's three stars. Who do you got? I'm not really surprised by your number one pick.
Jacob Fowler. It has to be Jacob Fowler. Yes, it was just one win. Yes, it was his first win in his debut for the NHL. And, you know, you stand him up against all the other Montreal greats that made their debuts against Pittsburgh, Patrick Roy, Carey Price, Ken Dryden. But it was just, it was not only the win, it was not only the 36 saves, it was not only the 947 save percentage, it's just the way he was a lifeline for a sinking ship. Mm-hmm. And remarkable again, as I say, for his inexperience and his youthful age.
Your second star for the week?
Second star was Ivan Demidov. He had in four games, he had four assists. That's 4 points, 2 power play points, 2 even strength points. So evenly effective on both the power play and 5-on-5. He had another good week.
And starting to be a recurring name in your three stars, your third star goes to
Cole Caulfield. 3 goals, 3 points, 2 power play goals, 1 game winner in the 4 games played.
But the offense was actually, particularly the young guys, were doing pretty well this week. You've got some honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions, and yes, it is the. We're going to get back to this about, you know, the Canadians are the youngest team in the league. And boy, the excuses and all of that. They don't have enough veterans. We've heard that 1,000 times. Honorable mentions go to Lane Hutson, 1 goal and 2 assists, and maybe his best game of the season against Pittsburgh.
Gee, why was that?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Oliver Kapanen, 2 goals. Juraj Slafkovský, 3 assists, but also trying to be the hero on the top two lines, splitting his time back and forth. Mm-hmm. So he gets an honorable mention as well.
Also, recurring names seem to be showing up on your struggling list.
Tough week for Mike Matheson, tough week for Alex Carrier.
Yep.
Each of them was a -3. That's worst amongst Canadiens defensemen.
So through 30 games played, that's correct, 30 games played, the Habs are 16-11-3. That gives them 35 points, placing them 4th in the Atlantic Division, 15th overall in the NHL, currently sitting outside of a playoff spot.
Outside of the playoffs, outside a wild card spot. The standings are so close, that can change quickly. But as we've said before, there are a couple of metrics that we're paying attention to. 9 regulation wins now. That's 25th in the NHL, and a goal differential of -10. That's 24th in the NHL. That's not good news for the Canadiens.
Not at all. Just refreshing your memory on some roster news that happened throughout the week. With Sam Montembeau sick last Sunday, the Canadiens did need to recall a goaltender from the Laval Rocket. They had called up Kaapo Kähkönen to back up Jakub Dobish against the Blues, and he was then returned to the AHL after that game was over. Jake Evans missed Thursday night's game.
He did. Missed practice, missed the game against Pittsburgh. Marty St. Louis was asked directly about the injury, and Marty said it's not an injury, not injury related, for personal reasons. So we don't know what's going on there, but Jake Evans is going to be back in the lineup on Saturday night against the Rangers.
In addition to Jacob Fowler getting called up Tuesday night after that drubbing by the Lightning. The Canadiens also recalled Owen Beck and Adam Engstrom from Laval. And, well, I think we're going to see some of those people.
And we did on Thursday night against Pittsburgh. You know, the question is, was this message sending by the management? There's different interpretations of how it happened and why it happened. But bringing up Owen Beck, Adam Engstrom, Jacob Fowler, all in one fell swoop, and then having all three of them in the lineup on Thursday night, and again on Saturday, we expect them in the lineup against the Rangers as well. And so that led to some juggling as far as the lines and defensive pairs. Kind of alluded to this earlier, but it was Slavkovsky off the top line against the Penguins with Suzuki and Caulfield. It was Bolduc. Kapanen centered Demidov and Slavkovsky on the second line. Owen Beck was at center. There was a question whether he'd be at center or on the wing. He's a natural center. He was very good on the faceoff circle, as was Kapanen on Thursday night. It was Nick Suzuki who was struggling in that respect. But Beck centered Josh Anderson and Alex Texier, and Valeno on the fourth line centering Davidson and Gallagher. And out of the lineup on Thursday night was Jake Evans. Evans is back in. He'll come back in for Davidson versus the Rangers, although you can expect him to be at center. We don't know what the line combinations are going to be, but that might mean that Owen Beck goes to the wing on Saturday night. As we said, Marty confirmed that Evans has not been dealing with an injury. And then as the most interesting part of this was the defensive pairs that we saw against the Penguins. Matheson and Dobson broken up. We've been preaching, put Lane Hutson on the left, on his natural side, and 29 games to figure that out, I guess, for Stefan Robida and Marty St. Louis. So it ended up being Matheson on the left with Carrier to his right, reuniting a pairing from last season. Lane Hutson was with Noah Dobson on the second pairing, both on their natural sides. And Lane Hutson, I think, had his best game of the season. And then Struble and Engstrom on the bottom pairing. Engstrom's a left-handed defenseman, but he's used to playing on the right, very comfortable on the right, and was really good on Thursday night. So Engstrom's going to stay in the lineup. Struble, who's had his struggles, will be out versus the Rangers, and that means that Arber Xhekaj will be in for Struble.
And also for goaltenders, they've got three to choose from. Jacob Fowler is going to get another shot at this. He's going to start in goal versus the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Wonder if mom and dad, wouldn't have been too hard for them to get from Pittsburgh to Manhattan.
Yeah, they were in Pittsburgh, and I expect they'll be at MSG. Yeah. You know, and you'll hear a quote from Jacob Fowler a little later about buildings, but you know, playing your second game in one of the most iconic venues,
mm-hmm.
not only for hockey, for any kind of entertainment. Playing at MSG is a big. He wants to be on the big stage. This is as big as it gets. So Fowler in goal against the Rangers on Saturday. We don't know who's going to start against the Oilers at home on Sunday. It's if the answer is not Dobish, it's a big
mistake.
By Marty and his coaching crew.
Absolutely. We'll just have to wait to see. All right, let's take a quick dive into the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Just some updates. Instead of highlighting a single prospect this week, we're going to update you on a few of them. This kid does not know how to quit. Alexander Zhirovsky. Do I sound like a broken record? He was named the KHL Rookie of the Week again.
Yeah, it was. He had just come off the Rookie of the Month for the month of November, and he was handed the KHL Rookie of the Week for Week 13. Interesting little tidbit that came out. It was that the GM of the team he's playing for said that the team would be willing to release Zhirovsky in a year if the player is interested in going to the NHL.
Okay. We'll hold you to that.
Yeah, let's see how that works out. How about tomorrow?
Yeah.
How about then?
How about, is he ready now? Bryce Pickford has been on our prospect report for a number of weeks already this season. Well, he's on it again because this time he's the WHL Player of the Week.
He's been incredible, and the honors keep piling up. And he's last week we told you about his Gordie Howe hat trick, but he's just a scoring machine. He's an impact machine. I don't know if he's going to be an NHL player, but my goodness, he the Canadiens. Amateur scouts found a gem here in Bryce Pickford.
Absolutely. And Quentin Miller, we've talked about him recently. Again, do I sound like a broken record? He was the NCHC Goaltender of the Week.
Again, he was NCHC Goaltender of the Month for the month of November. Now, starting December, he is the NCHC Goaltender of the Week. This past week, a 1.02 goals against and a 957 save percentage.
Love it, including a shutout. Mm-hmm. In the realm of things that say, well, yeah, obviously, glad to see Michael Hage being named to Team Canada's 2026 World Junior Championships training camp roster.
You know that it always takes something a little bit extra for Team Canada to add an NCAA player to their roster. Don't know what it is, but Michael Hage has overcome that, whatever it is. Obviously, he's having a terrific season and on the training camp roster for Team Canada for the World Juniors.
Just a quick look at Laval. It's been an interesting week for them. Of course, they're now missing a bunch of call-ups. With Cabo Kakanen had to get called up and then sent back at the beginning of the week because of Sam Montembeau's illness. Then they lost Fowler and Beck and Adam Engstrom due to their recalls on Tuesday night. And so that meant that there's been a whole bunch of shuffling back and forth between Laval and Trois-Rivières. But obviously, there was a goaltender need, so Hunter Jones was recalled from Trois-Rivières. Last Saturday was a bit of an anomaly, a little bit for Kaapo Kähkönen. He started the game for Laval in Belleville and had to get pulled and replaced by Jacob Fowler because gave up 3 goals in 11 minutes.
Yeah, he's Kaapo Kähkönen has had a good start to the season.
Yeah.
He's faltered lately, though. Hasn't quite looked himself in the last week or so.
And so, Laval kept things a little spicy. They scored 3 times in the second period, but with just under 5 minutes to go, Luke Tuck takes a roughing penalty. Belleville scores on the power play, and they win it 4-3. Wednesday, the Toronto Marlies were in town, the first of 2 games that Toronto would play in Laval this week. An extended stay for Laval. They played Wednesday night and Friday night. Wednesday night's game started out well for the Rocket. They scored 3 times in the first period, but then they allowed Toronto to score 3 times in the second period. That game eventually went to a shootout. Toronto ultimately coming out on top with a 5-4 victory in the shootout. But Rick, Tyler Thorpe had a good game in that
3 assists for Tyler Thorpe in this game.
Now, it's no great secret that there's no love lost between the Toronto Marlies and the Laval Rocket, whoever is on the roster. Friday night, second game in a row that these two teams are playing one another. And there's one thing to remember about Toronto's roster now for the Marlies is that Michael Pezzetta now plays for them because he was sent down from Toronto. Well, in despite the fact that Laval came out with a 5-2 victory on Friday night, the bigger headline was the absolute brawl that erupted after Michael Pezzetta put a very, very dangerous hit on Mark Delgazzo. And yeah. I was going to say all heck broke loose, but really it was Florian Jacki broke loose and then all heck broke loose.
Yeah, it was an ugly hit. It was an illegal hit. It was a blindside hit by Pezzetta. Hit to the head of Mark Delgazzo. He went to the ice. Trainer came out. I think it was Farrell first that kind of bumped Pezzetta, and then Florian Jacki came in and took care of business. Pezzetta didn't. I mean, Pezzetta, as he does, he can take a punch, and he took about 30 or 40 in this little exchange. But then it was when Pezzetta was leaving the ice, and skated past the Laval bench. That the bench got involved. Marley's players got involved. Some players, you know, came off the bench for Laval, and it was an ugly brawl. It was a little humorous in that you had Belzile and Joshua on the same guy and Parsons, that's right. And Joshua Waugh must have thrown 30 missed punches. He was flailing around in the air. None of them connected. Then I think it was Parsons that got a hold of Belzile and was beating him up a bit. So to the rescue again, Florian Jacki, fresh off of a 2-minute fight with Pezzetta, comes in and takes care of business again. All in all, it was not a very, it's what the AHL doesn't want to see, these brawls. So there were suspensions handed out. I should say on the ice, Laval ended up with a 5-minute power play, as there was misconducts and game misconducts handed out. But the extra discipline that was handed out, the AHL handed out suspensions to Alex Belzile, Laurent Tafan, Joshua Waugh. Each of them got 3 games for leaving the bench during an altercation, and Sammy Blais was suspended for 1 game.
And yes, that hit by Pezzetta was deemed to be an illegal hit. Pezzetta also handed a 3-game suspension for an illegal check to the head. Mark Delgazzo is not going to play on Saturday. On Saturday, he's not going to play. But the interesting thing about this suspension for Belzile, Dauphin, and Joshua Waugh, so they're suspended for 3 games, which means they won't play on Saturday, and they won't play in the 2 games that take place next, I believe, Wednesday and Saturday for Laval. But then, Rick, as you pointed out before we started the show, Laval then doesn't play at all during the week of Christmas. So that means that those 3, Belzile, Dauphin, and Waugh, will not play again until after Christmas.
Yeah, it turns out to be 2 calendar weeks that they won't be in the lineup. Just because of the quirks of the schedule, pretty stiff suspension for them leaving the bench to get involved in an altercation.
So Laval currently without Jacob Fowler, Owen Beck, Adam Engstrom, Alex Belzile, Laurent Dauphin, Joshua Waugh, Sammy Blais, and Mark Delgazzo. All in the course of a week.
Yeah.
Welcome to the AHL, where turnover happens very quickly. Laval, through their 25 games played, is sitting with a 17-7-0-1 record. They have 35 points. They are still sitting at first place in the North Division, fourth overall in the AHL. They will be playing Bridgeport on Saturday, today, and then they will be in Cleveland for a couple of games starting next Thursday. The Trois Rivières Lions, well, their roster will be depleted as well because they've had to send a lot of personnel up to Laval to cover off the absences that are taking place up there. But they currently, through their 20 games played, 10-7-0-3 for 23 points. They're kind of sitting in the middle of the pack for the North Division and the ECHL, so they're still kind of steady as they go.
The list is Joe Dunlap, Riley Kidney, Israel Mianscum, Nate Clearman, Josh Jacobs, Hunter Jones. They're all up there.
They're all up in Laval.
In Laval from Trois Rivières. And that's what the system AHL and ECHL is all about.
That's right. General hockey news. Hockey Canada made an announcement on Thursday that former Habs GM Marc Bergevin, who is the current GM for Canada's Spengler Cup team, has made a decision on who is going to be the head coach for Team Canada's team at the Spengler Cup. And, well, does this sound familiar to you? GM Marc Bergevin will have head coach Michel Therrien.
The Foxhole buddies reunited again.
Yeah. Back in the Foxhole. Mm-hmm. And then this was...
We have a trade to announce.
Yes, this was apparently trade season is starting to heat up because had a couple of them. It's minor trades this week. Minor. Mm. Friday, Edmonton acquired goaltender Tristan Jarry and forward Sam Follan from the Penguins. And they sent back Stuart Skinner, Brett Kulak, mm-hmm. and a second rounder in 2029.
Yeah.
Let's see how many Penguins fans remember that in 4 years.
So Stuart Skinner wasn't getting it done. The Edmonton obviously needed a goaltender. Is Tristan Jarry the answer? It's kind of a lateral move, although Tristan Jarry is having a very good season so far, but an inconsistent goaltender has a bigger contract than you think could be traded. Good for Pittsburgh here. I'm sure they weren't wanting to take on Skinner. But they get Skinner and Kulak both on expiring contracts and a valuable second round pick, albeit a few years from now.
If this season has taught us anything about hockey news, it's that Friday nights are apparently the time to make big deals.
We have a trade to announce.
Again.
Yeah. And boy,
this was a blockbuster. This is
did
enormous.
Minnesota just blow everybody out of the water, with Vancouver Canucks defenseman Quinn Hughes traded to the Minnesota Wild for Marco Rossi, Ziv Boyum, Liam Ogren, and a 2026 first rounder.
So the three names you mentioned going back from Minnesota to Vancouver are all first rounders. So in essence, four first round picks for Quinn Hughes. Whoever thought Quinn Hughes could be traded, would be traded. New Jersey was very interested. And
I would like to see him in New Jersey eventually.
Well, by all reports, New Jersey made what they thought were a substantial offer. But my goodness, what Minnesota offered, that is huge, enormous mm-hmm. offer, and means, you know, they're playing for this season. And they have stiff competition in Dallas and Colorado in that division. But Billy Guerin went ahead and made that big trade to land Quinn Hughes. Incredibly. These kind of blockbuster trades are enormous and have long lasting implications for both teams. We'll see if Vancouver knows how to use all their newfound assets.
Yeah.
That's always the question with the Canucks. But Minnesota has said, you know, they're in it to win it. And it's also with these two trades, it's, you know, the trade market just got unlocked. Kent Hughes, the trade window is wide open now.
Definitely. One last thing that we want to mention before we take our first break here on the show, getting ready to dive into this week's big topic. We do want to send our condolences. Earlier today, the Canadians making the announcement that former Canadians forward Bobby Rousseau passed away at the age of 85.
Yeah, Bobby Rousseau, he was a member of four Stanley Cup winning teams in the 1960s. Played 10 seasons in total for Montreal. Then went on with, I think he had a season with the North Stars in Minnesota and 4 or 5 seasons with the New York Rangers, but best known for his 4 cups in Montreal and when playing on lines, you know, with Jean Beliveau, with Yvon Cornoyer, and a speedy playmaker, I guess is what you'd call him. But well decorated, as I said, 4 Stanley Cups. He's a Memorial Cup champion. Won the Calder Memorial Trophy in 1962, and was named to 3 or 4 All-Star teams. And also known for scoring 5 goals in an NHL game and 5 goals in an Olympic game. Pretty hard to beat that. Bobby Rousseau, well remembered. And as you said, we send our condolences to his family.
And on that note, we are going to take a quick break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. But when we come back, we are celebrating Jacob Fowler's NHL debut. We're going to balance that against the risk behind Montreal's goaltending gamble. You're not going to want to miss that. So stay with us. We've got a message from our sponsors over at DraftKings for you, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Every yard, every sack, every interception, and every touchdown. With Pick 6, DraftKings' newest game, every snap can turn into a big-time payout. This isn't just watching the game. This is playing to win. Here's how it works. You pick more or less on 2 or more player stats. And the better your picks, the bigger your payout. It's that simple. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in Pick 6 credits with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. You know the game. Now make it pay. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. If you would like to follow my coverage over on Twitter, you can do so. My handle there is @FlyersRule. And be sure you are definitely following Rick Stevens over on Twitter as well. You can follow him @RocketSports. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done that already. We are here each and every week throughout the year, even in the off season. We've always got a lot of great coverage, a lot of great things to talk about, a lot of things to debate and analyze about the Montreal Canadiens. So tap that subscribe button if you haven't done so already, and share this podcast if you are so inclined. We'd love you to share it on your social media channels to spread the word about the Canadiens Connection. All right, so this week's big topic is kind of built around a phrase that I think kept popping up in Rick's head when as he's been watching the team over the past couple of weeks, certainly as he was contemplating what we should focus on today. And that is the phrase of, you know, a house of cards, not just because necessarily of one bad game or a single bad stretch of games or even one bad coaching decision, but just kind of because everything feels stacked in a way that's a little too fragile for mm-hmm. comfort. It's like, you know, one wrong move, one more injury, lineup tweak that doesn't really land right. And suddenly the whole thing feels like it could just come crashing down at any second. And so the recall of Jacob Fowler is kind of the moment that really sharpened that feeling, because sure, on the surface, it looks like just a simple response to goaltending trouble, defensive trouble, blowout losses, that type of thing. But underneath of it, that one move forces a whole lot of uncomfortable questions. Questions about development, questions about accountability, questions about trust in the structure in front of the goaltender, and questions about who ultimately pays the price if things don't stabilize. So today we're going to unpack where this house of cards actually sits right now, talk about why it's so delicate, and what has to happen for the Canadians to keep it upright, to keep it standing, and not let it collapse under its own weight.
I think it'll start to come together as we start to unwrap this a little bit. And it's certainly more than goaltending, I think, but it's come to a that's the most visible part of this is goaltending. And in fact, there was an article this week: is Marty St. Louis' job safe with the Canadians? It may come down to goaltending. That first part, is Marty St. Louis' job safe? That's new. We haven't heard that, as we've said many times. St. Louis has been, you know, he's been floating along, getting all kinds of praise. He really, you know, hasn't been pushed very much. The expectations are low, and have been in the rebuild, his positive approach and positive emotions have kind of carried the Canadians through. And that positive energy, particularly last year, making the surprise but brief visit to the playoffs. But this year, now the expectations are higher. The talent level on the team is much higher. And because there's been a lot of difficulty, there's been some pushback. And Marty under pressure, and it's not been like we've seen with other coaches. It's the pressure's been minor, but still, Marty's starting to crack under pressure, and his responses, both his actions behind the bench, his decisions, and his performance at the podium, have led to more questions. And there's even been a lot of reporting on a bit of verbal jousting this past week. It's been with Arpan Basu. A lot's been made of that Arpan's got under Marty's skin, and his answers have been a little bizarre in response. And you know, a few weeks back, I was asked to insert more Seinfeld references. And the one that I think of was Kramer, when he was, you know, he's full of confidence and he's going to karate class and everybody, and he's talking about his karate exploit. Yes. Yes. Saying correctly. He's dominating the dojo. He's dominating. And then it's found out that he's battling 8-year-olds.
That's right.
And when Elaine comes in and challenges him and puts him to the mat, all of a sudden it gives There's confidence is given to the little kids, and they attack him out in the alley.
That's right.
Well, the same kind of thing is happening, I think. Cracks are showing in Marty's armor, and this confidence and this swagger and everything have disappeared this past week. And it required the intervention of the management. And, you know, you got to ask the question, did they expose Jacob Fowler, even though he handled it unbelievably well, in order to save Marty, to save Montembeau? It was an interesting dynamic. We'll talk more about it. But Marty was pushing back a lot more than we've seen. Towards his players. We don't see him criticize his players often, but when he was asked about, you know, the kinds of starts or the lack of preparation, he deflected it away from himself. He didn't take any responsibility for the Canadians' lack of game preparation. His quote was, "It's individual. Individually, they have to be more ready. There's not a play in the first 2 or 3 minutes that can't affect the result. Every play is important. Every situation is important," end quote, saying it's the player's fault and the player's fault individually. If they're not ready, it's not my fault. It's their fault. There was also the situation with Nick Suzuki saying, you know, the problem might be that we began the season as the youngest team in the NHL, and with all these injuries, we brought up a lot more younger, and we're even younger now, and that might be the problem. You might want to point out to Nick that who hasn't fulfilled expectations? Has Josh Anderson? No. Has Brendan Gallagher, has Patrick Laine, has Sam Montembeau, has Jake Evans? There's a lot of question marks, and it seems to be around the veterans. But Marty said, well, perhaps Nick Suzuki misspoke. Well, perhaps Nick was just emotional after the game, and if you asked him again, he'd say something different because he doesn't believe that it's our youth. It's fascinating to me, anyway, that Marty has been willing to throw his players under the bus a bit. And it gets back to the fact, is Marty prepared to coach a team with this much talent, with these kinds of expectations? He's been able to coast on the fact of his gut instincts, his ability to generate positive emotions, and his ability to reference his own playing career, given his complete lack of coaching experience when he started.
And that's only going to get you so far. And I think that we are definitely this season starting to see that he's reaching the upper limits of how far into a team that's on an upward trajectory in their rebuild can he get, based solely off of his playing experience and not having any true professional coaching experience through these kinds of times. We've also talked in recent weeks about how effective the goaltending coach Eric Raymond has been. And let's just remind you of something that Eric had said about Sam Montembeau earlier this year. He said, quote, "We make small adjustments, but we're still working within the same framework. So it becomes easier for him when he has a bad game or a rough patch." And those rough patches are never very long. Well, other I'd like to know what he has to say about that now.
Other than the entire season.
The entire season has been a rough patch for Sam Montembeau.
It has. I think all of this kind of surrounds the coaching, and it's not just Marty St. Louis alone who is struggling. Obviously, Eric Raymond is struggling. he's either struggling to understand the or find solutions, remedies for his goaltenders, or he's failing to communicate with Marty St. Louis. There doesn't seem to be a lot of exchange between the two, because Marty is not understanding what's going on with the goaltending or what they need. And, you know, the same can be said for Stefan Robida. The system, whether it's man-to-man or a hybrid, that there's some dispute about that. And getting that system communicated to the players, because at times they are completely lost. But back to the goaltenders and the communication between Eric Raymond and Marty St. Louis.
I think there either needs to be more communication, or the communication between the two of them needs to change in a drastic way, because we know from past press conferences and things over the years, we know that Marty has said in the past that he doesn't have a lot of familiarity on what goaltenders need on their day to day and that type of thing. Well, he came back to that again this week. And here's a clip of Marty really struggling to try to talk to, you know, reporters about back to backs and who plays and who starts in a back to back in terms of the crease. And it's quite obvious that he doesn't understand workload management for goaltenders.
But I'm not sure, like, why it's gone that way. You know, I don't know. I can't remember if we had less back-to-back back then. There's more now. I don't know. But I know, like, goalies used to play way more games than they do now. And so you share the load in the back-to-back and have a fresh guy. But I've never played that position, so I don't know why. It's hard, I guess, because you're in the net for 60 minutes, you know, as an other position. You're playing, get a lot of ice time, you're in the 20th minute. So I don't know why.
He's guessing. He's floundering to come up with a reason. And a head coach needs to know about management. And it's not, you don't need to have played the position. You have resources, you have experts, you need to all be communicating. And I think it's safe to say it's not happening. It's not happening effectively. Marty, does he have confidence in the advice he's getting from Eric Raymond, or does he prefer to rely on his own, and he's trying to struggle to think of how it was back in the day when he was a player? He's just searching for that reference point from his playing days, and a head coach has got to be more than that. He's got to have more tools in his toolbox than just being able to locate a memory back when he was in the league. Marty is struggling, and not only about goaltending, but particularly in this case, about goaltending. You can hear it. He wasn't, the questions went on, and he wasn't even really aware of the Canadian schedule for the month of December and the number of back-to-backs and the Saturday, Sunday. Being objective, a bit of an embarrassment for the head coach.
Well, and it seemed he got defensive. He's getting more and more defensive with the media, particularly this past week. Here's a clip of him reacting to, I think it was Herb Zerkowski who was asking him if the recall of Jacob Fowler was a move made out of desperation.
I don't think we'll ever do anything in desperation. You know, somebody who's desperate, it's because he's not calculating, doesn't have a plan.
So, and he went on to say the plan was that Jacob Fowler, would be recalled. That these decisions aren't made in isolation. That he sits down and with with Hughes and with Gorton, and they thought that that sometime this season that they would call up Jacob Fowler to give him some experience and to determine where he's at in the whole process, in his development process. And honestly, it's just a totally absurd answer. Of course, it was in a reaction to being crushed by Tampa, and the of course it was in respect to the goaltending that has been awful, and especially with two goaltenders against Tampa who weren't performing. And having one goaltender who's really going into the season was thought to be the number one, and now you can't play him. He is completely unplayable in Sam Montembeau. So this response that, oh, it was always the plan, and maybe that's the case, that it was always the plan that sometime in January or November or whenever, when the goaltending was going well, not when you're in a crisis position, do you call up a 21-year-old goaltender for his NHL debut and call it normal, call it a normal scheduled event? That's a silly answer. And again, he's losing credibility with the media, who are dying to praise him. And some cracks are showing there.
But don't expect him to offer any excuses.
But for me, like, you have two choices: make progress or make excuses. And you can't do both.
Marty, starting to choose progress. Consider that an excuse to talk about youth?
I will never use our youth as an excuse. Never. Right. I'm not.
And yes, everything he says is correct. Don't come out and use excuses. There's no room for both excuses and progress. Nice platitude, but are you following it? And again, we're not going to use our youth as an excuse. But do you play them or do you bench them? And you keep putting out players, veterans who are not doing the job. So all of this, I mean, what he said, on paper, you got to agree with, but he doesn't follow through in practice. Marty had a tough week, and the only thing that saved him was an unbelievable performance by Jacob Fowler.
Definitely, because then suddenly, here's the shiny new object with a big shiny win, and the focus then shifts to that.
And just before we go to Jacob Fowler, and we got a lot to say about him, Marty was asked about whether this was a message being sent, and he said by the GM, and he said no, not a message being sent by the GM. As I said before, these decisions are made by the organization. We wanted to see Fowler. We wanted to see where he was in his development. So then the follow-up was, Marty, is he going to play on Thursday night before the Penguins game? I don't know. Not sure he'll play. He'll be with us on the trip. Marty, why would you bring him up and then not play him, was the question. Again, a little bit of pushback that we haven't seen before. Marty answered, well, it's good for him to get experience being around the guys. Silly answer, absurd answer. You knew that he was going to play. Marty trying to act as if he's in control, but I don't think he was in control of all the decisions this week.
Well, I remember you had sent a message and pondered the question during the Tampa Bay game. There was a shot of the suite or something like that, and you know, Jeff Gorton's furiously typing away on his phone. And you had said something to the effect of, "Gee, I wonder what decision, you know, who's he calling up in the middle of the game?" And that wasn't far off base, because Owen Beck said that he got the call from Pascal Vincent Tuesday night at around 9 o'clock when there was 10 minutes still left in that Tampa Bay game.
So, you know, there's a couple of scenarios. We can listen to Marty and say that, you know, after the Tampa game, everybody was in calm heads, and they sat around with Hughes and Gorton, and they decided now would be a good time to get a look at Jacob Fowler, and why don't we call up Engstrom and Beck as well? Or the GM and the president of hockey operations were so upset during the game that they made the decision unilaterally before talking to Marty. Which is it? And so one of the reporters asked, I believe it was Stu Cowan, asked Owen Beck, when did you learn of the recall? And Owen said, well, it was about 9 o'clock. The game was still going on, Tampa and Montreal. There's probably about 10 minutes left in the game. And I got a call from Pascal Vincent. Now, Amy, you correctly said, well, maybe his situation was different because they knew they were going to be without Jake Evans. And maybe Owen Beck got the call early. And then they met with Marty and decided about the other two. Maybe. It's possible. I don't think it's probable.
Probably not.
But it's absolutely possible, and we got to allow for that possibility. But it seems that the GM and the president of hockey ops were not happy with what they were seeing on the ice during that game, and made the call to bring up Owen Beck, Adam Engstrom, and Jacob Fowler.
And so that then shifts us to what turned out to... Now, I'm just going to say this in case anyone has missed the last few weeks when I have said I did not want Jacob Fowler to get called up at this point in time, that I thought that it would be a mistake if they hit that panic button and brought Fowler into this hot mess that is... bad defense and a lot of lacking confidence and in some cases skill in the crease when you're talking about, you know, Sam Montembeau's got a skill and a confidence issue. Jakub Dobish has a confidence and consistency issue right now. I just didn't think that this was a good scenario to bring Fowler up into. And I stand by that. But that's what they chose to do. And so we have to acknowledge what an incredible 24 hours that was for him. Finding out that he's going to start against Pittsburgh, finding out he's going to make his NHL debut. Very big deal. As Rick said in the first segment, he was absolutely spectacular. He came as advertised. He met the challenge head on. He was cool as a cucumber. Made some very big saves. I will be curious to see, now that the hubbub has calmed down a little bit, how does he do in MSG on Saturday night? How does the team in front of him perform? That type of thing. But here was the amazing thing, is the history that he now becomes part of. Habs rookie goaltenders making their first career NHL start versus the Penguins. Who has done that? Well, Rick, he joins a pretty elite group of a few Habs goaltenders who made their very first debut. They made their NHL debut against Pittsburgh.
Ken Dryden, March 14th, 1971. He made 35 saves. Canadians win 5-1. Patrick Waugh, October 10th, 1985. Canadians win 5-3 with Patrick Waugh making 24 saves. Carey Price made his NHL debut October 10th, 2007. A 3-2 win, 26 saves for Carey Price. And Jacob Fowler, December 11th, 2025. A 4-2 win for the Canadians with 36 saves.
All against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
All against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Incredible. Just incredible. And listen, that's putting him in elite company. It's unfair to do that after one game. But Jacob Fowler is welcoming it. And he was the Canadians, I think, did a good job protecting him in the first period. Listen, is it the same? The same for Canadians players when they're starting in front of a goaltender who's making their NHL debut. Of course, it is. They want that goalie to shine, but particularly they know every one of those Canadians players. Knows what the expectation is for Jacob Fowler, that he is considered the next franchise goaltender. They want him to do well. So they did an outstanding job in the first period against the Penguins, so much so that the Penguins only got four shots. Now, after that, the Canadiens players seemed to say, okay, that was your introduction. We've played to give
you're warmed up now.
Yeah, because the Penguins had 34 shots in the next 40 minutes. 34 shots on the rookie goaltender making his debut, and he was outstanding. He was reading the plays. His positioning was solid. He was not intimidated one bit. He was smooth, calm. Efficient in his movements. His rebound control was excellent. That's something that you can tell that Montembeau is struggling, because his rebound control is awful. It means he's not well positioned. It means he's swimming. And that was completely the opposite for Jacob Fowler. He was very calm. He was very cool. And thrown into this situation on the road, it wasn't like he was with a supportive crowd. He just was incredible.
And to make matters worse, he was facing off against one of his childhood heroes.
I mean, I could have played anywhere tonight, and to get your first win is going to be special. But been to a lot of games here. Grew up a Pittsburgh fan. You know, Crosby and Fleury were my favorite players growing up. So. It's hard not to notice when he's on the ice, and you want to stop him every time he shoots.
I think he stopped Crosby seven times against his childhood hero. Yeah, and it's familiar with quite familiar with the arena, and his family was there as well. But how do you ignore those numbers? How do you ignore the names on the jerseys when they're, you know, legends in the game?
Absolutely. Well, he talks about that a little bit, and talked about, you know, if his routine was any different at what he did to prepare himself for this big day.
I mean, I think I was more uncomfortable. You know, I didn't have the best pregame nap or the best sleep last night, but I think once you start going through your routine, you realize it's just bigger building. You know, you try not to look at the last names too much during the game. You just try to, you know, I have little mental cues that I say when I get into the game, and no different than, you know, playing a game in Laval.
Well, yeah, it is a little different. And you know, as good as an arena, probably the best in the AHL as Place Belle is, it's going to be nothing like Madison Square Garden. No. Where he's going to be in goal tonight. But good on him for trying to maintain his routine, remembering that he needs to focus himself by saying those mental cues, and not letting himself be intimidated by the opposition or being on the road in an opposing building.
I thought this next clip from him was interesting, because a reporter asked him, you know, I'm sure you've been following along with how the Habs have been performing and playing and watching their games over the past recent days and weeks. And they asked him, were you surprised when you got the call up? Were you expecting it?
I mean, yes and no. Like, the team was struggling a bit, needed to get a win tonight, and when they let me know I'd have the chance to play tonight, you don't really think much. You just want to be part of a solution and help the team win, and two other guys have been great. I have a relationship with both of them, and everybody in this room has the same goal. This team needs to win more games, and, you know, we want to make a playoff spot.
The team was struggling. The goaltending was struggling. The head coach was under fire. I heard there was a few struggles with the Canadians, so I just put on my Superman outfit and popped in, got a win, and I came up and did that, and all's good.
Yeah.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Number one, it's incredible that the management exposed him to that kind of difficult situation, that kind of risk, and incredible that he came up and survived it. Because, you know, yes, there were there's a bit of extra effort in the first period. Yes, there were some lineup adjustments, and Owen Beck played great, almost got his first goal, would have got his first goal if not for a Josh Anderson offside. Owen Beck was 57% in the faceoff circle. Engstrom on the back end was very good. And as we said, Lane Hutson had a very good game with his new partner in Noah Dobson. There was a lot happening there. But basically, the organization placed a lot of this on in the lap of Jacob Fowler, and that's what gets us a little bit concerned, because it can all come unraveled very quickly. We have seen far too many times this year lopsided losses for the Canadians. The 6-1s, the 7-2s, the 8s, and a bad defensive effort can be revealed at any time, and you don't want Jacob Fowler. This experience has been super positive for him, for the Canadians, and now, you know, he's controlled the entrance. Now the Canadians have to control the exit. They have to make sure that they balance out righting the ship with making sure that he doesn't get shelled by all the, you know, goaltending can hide lots of blemishes, but it's not the complete cure for the team, and they have to escort Jacob Fowler back to Laval before the Canadians fall apart in front of him.
Right, because you don't want that trickle down effect. You don't want anything to erode confidence in him. You just want to keep the upward trajectory going. He did say this about, he just has to remember to be himself.
There's so many things that go around of who you play like or who you want to be like. I'd be lying if I didn't want to be like every great goalie that's ever played, but I understand that I got to be myself, and that starts every day with just doing the right things.
Yeah. So he's being put in the category of, you know, all these legends with the Canadians. He has a few of his own favorite goaltenders from the past. And of course he wants to, he welcomes the chance to be compared to them. However, he can't get caught up in that. He can't get lost in that. And as soon as you start focusing on, oh, I'm like this player, that player, the other player, or spending too much time reading your own headlines, that's when it can all fall apart, and he's got to just remain focused and being himself, as he said in that clip.
And so, yeah, as you say, you know, the Canadians have constructed this very precarious house of cards, and they've brought Jacob Fowler in to kind of lift it up from underneath and try to stabilize the foundation. Now they have to figure out how to get him out from under the house of cards safely before it all comes tumbling down. And that's going to be a tricky maneuver to navigate for the Canadians. Let's keep our fingers crossed that they do it properly.
Jacob Fowler doesn't fix problems with coaching. He doesn't fix problems with the defense, the systems, the problems in the penalty kill, on and on and on. Listen, Marty St. Louis has a tough job. He doesn't have enough top four defensemen. He doesn't have enough top six forwards. But he's a head coach in the National Hockey League, and he's paid to find solutions. And those solutions can't be found, not all of them, by searching clips of him during his playing days.
No. So we want to ask you your thoughts about all of this. So this week's Canadians Connection question of the week is, what is the bigger risk right now for the Canadians? Damaging Fowler's development or continuing to lose credibility with the current roster and coaching staff? Where does the balance fall for you? What is the bigger risk? Is there a bigger risk of potentially damaging Fowler's development by messing around with him being up in the NHL right now? Or is the bigger risk keeping things status quo, sending him back to Laval, and then running the risk of losing credibility with the current roster and coaching staff if things go south again? We would love to hear your thoughts on this. Be sure to send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line, 58533-ROCKET. You can also drop us a comment on our YouTube channel, on Spotify, or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We would love to hear from you. And of course, we're going to take the best responses and read them on next week's show. So shout them out. Let us know what you think. While you start to ponder that, we are going to take our final break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. And up next, we're going to be reading out some of your best replies to last week's question of the week. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, like Adidas, Levi's, Old Navy, Lenovo, LG, Sephora, Best Buy, Dyson, or Lego, and cashback is automatically added to your account. And you can choose to get paid via Interac e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.ca, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back to episode 378 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap that subscribe button, tap that share button. And if you have friends, family, followers on social media who are also Habs fans, well, then why not share this episode with them as well? See what they think about the Canadians Connection question of the week. Don't forget as well, of course, to follow our written content over on HockeyHotStove.com. Just tap the Canadians logo on HockeyHotStove.com. You'll find our written content over there. And as I just said, don't forget, just go ahead and get your answers in to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. What is the bigger risk right now for the Canadians? Is it the risk of damaging Fowler's development if they keep him up in the NHL for too long? Or is the bigger risk that they continue to lose credibility with the current roster and coaching staff and go with Montembeau and Dobesh, as well as all of the other issues that the team is facing. Last week, as a reminder, we asked you, what is one thing that you believe about the Canadians this season that others might disagree with? And I'm going to actually, Rick, I'm going to give you the YouTube comment that we picked out that directly answers that question.
For sure.
What's one thing you believe about the Canadians this season that others might disagree with? At Frank Huber 9912 says, others may disagree, But the Habs need more slap chop. You know, that magic little slicer, dicer, gourmet spicer. He says, does the slap chop remind you of anyone? Lane Hutson. And there's no such thing as too much Hutson. So the answer is obvious. The Canadians need more slap chop.
Like, is he hinting at that he thought the Canadians should be in on Quinn Hughes? Or
I don't know.
Interesting.
You also had an interesting comment that came in on X this week.
Yeah, this is from Daryl. That's at Bugsy1126. I don't know if he thinks that others might disagree with this, but see if you agree with Daryl. He specified trade targets that he feels Kent Hughes should be looking to add. And he has listed Pavel Zacha, Tage Thompson, Dalibor Dvorsky, Robert Thomas, and Bo Horvat. In that order, all of these guys are worth overpaying for. So thanks, Daryl. And tell us if you agree with Daryl or you disagree.
That's right. And so we're going to keep this segment short and sweet this week because we know that there are hockey games to watch. Montreal in New York City at MSG to take on the New York Rangers at 7 o'clock Eastern on Saturday night. They will be back in Montreal Sunday night for another Saturday-Sunday back-to-back where they will host Edmonton on home ice. They will stay at home for their Tuesday and Thursday games where they will welcome the Philadelphia Flyers on Tuesday night and the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday. So some really juicy matchups this week. Should be some good games, some teams that Montreal doesn't get to play super often. So always fun to see that.
And we're going to watch who's in goal for
on Sunday,
especially, and the rest of the week. Four home games for the Canadians, and then seven away games follow that.
Yeah. We will certainly be back here next Saturday, December 20th. I guess that's officially our Christmas episode. For the next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast, where we will break down everything that happens this week with the Montreal Canadiens. We couldn't have dreamed some of the stuff that happened this past week. So what will the next episode have in store for us? Well, you got to come back to find out. So hit subscribe. Make sure you don't miss an episode, and we'll see you again next week on the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.